when a person typically thinks about laboratory testing and a quality control program, they see it as really a group of individuals testing raw materials, finished products against a set of specifications, right? While that's absolutely true, that's part of our job. If you want a robust program that's going to ensure the efficacy and safety of the materials going into a swine diet, it's got to go further than that. So here at Phibro, we've got a program called Dynamic Quality Assurance, or DQA. It's got four main components. You have the material science group and the biological research team that are driving the efficacy of our products. And then you've got the quality assurance group and the manufacturing team that's going to drive the safety of the products that we sell.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. AB Vista, new nutritional perspectives and novel enzyme applications to drive pig production. You can combat mycotoxins in your feed with Fumezyme from DSM Firmenich. Fumezyme is the only FDA-approved enzyme to degrade fumonisins. Adiseo provides programs and services to help producers achieve their targets in a high-quality, safe, and sustainable way. Eastman works with you to accelerate your nutritional program innovation. Start your journey with us at eastman.com. Healthier pigs are good for producers, people, profits, and planet.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of the Swine It Podcast. I'm Dr. Tara Donovan, your host today, and I have as my guest Kimberly Rowe. Kimberly is the laboratory manager for the Phibro Mineral Nutrition Group at Phibro Animal Health. She manages the inorganic and organic laboratories where she provides technical support for production, customer service, and solves analytical challenges. Kimberly works with the quality and material science groups to evaluate and approve new ingredients, sources, and technology for, again, Phibro Animal Health. Welcome to our show, Kimberly.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. So today we're going to discuss ensuring safe and efficacious mineral sources for swine nutrition needs. But before we get started, Kimberly, I'd like you to take a few minutes and tell us about your background and your career path to your current position at Phibro Animal Health.
So I've been with Phibro since 2016, so 9 years now. My background is more in chemistry. I did my undergraduate at Southwestern Oklahoma State University and then followed that up to get my PhD in inorganic chemistry at Oklahoma State University in Stillwater, Oklahoma. After that, I spent a little bit of time in the environmental sector, worked for a company testing wastewater, drinking water, hazardous waste, and soil samples for minerals and heavy metals. And then I came up to Illinois to work for Phibro. So I've loved it ever since.
Great. Well, Kimberly, you're my first guest in this area. And I can tell you that I didn't really enjoy my chemistry classes in school. So I appreciate your passion and the area of expertise that you have. And there's definitely people out there working in this area that are important to those of us that use the products in the field. So I'm excited to learn from you and what kind of goes on behind the scenes.
When it comes to raising healthy animals, you need more than the right solutions. You need the right partner who brings decades of industry expertise and a global team to put that knowledge to work for the advancement of your operation. At Phibro Animal Health Corporation, we are proud to work with you as your trusted partner.
In the laboratories for those products.
Sounds great.
Again, we're going to cover the topic of ensuring safe and efficacious mineral sources for swine nutrition needs. And so, Kimberly, let's dig in here. How can a laboratory help with the overall safety and efficacy of a product? Give us some general guidelines there.
So when a person typically thinks about laboratory testing and a quality control program, they see it as really a group of individuals testing raw materials, finished products against a set of specifications, right? Well, that's absolutely true. That's part of our job. If you want a robust program that's going to ensure the efficacy and safety of the materials going into a swine diet, it's got to go further than that. So here at Phibro, we've got a program called Dynamic Quality Assurance, or DQA. It's got four main components. You have the material science group and the biological research team that are driving the efficacy of our products. And then you've got the quality assurance group and the manufacturing team that's going to drive the safety of the products that we sell. Okay, now how do they do that? The biological group go out and look to find different sources, different ingredients, to understand the basic building blocks, chemical building blocks that make up each of those products. From there, they're going to select a wide range of different types of ingredients and products and send them over to the research team. The research team from there will test them using different in vitro and in vivo studies to figure out which specific chemical parameter is driving that biological research. By doing so, we can better hone in on an ingredient or product that has the high level of efficacy we would expect, and which chemical parameters actually need to be monitored to ensure that efficacy in the finished product. From there, we switch over to the quality assurance team. They're having the appropriate communications with our suppliers. They're setting meaningful specifications and important limits on when we're testing our products. And when they incorporate that in with our manufacturing team, who have robust training protocols, validated methods, and appropriate documentation for that whole process, all of that together gives us that efficacy and safety that we expect of a product going into a swine diet. Now, if you listen to that quick carefully, I didn't mention laboratory anywhere, did I? The difference is that laboratory really works as a support function for all of those different teams. My laboratory is out there doing the testing for the material science group so that they can better understand those building blocks. For our research group, when they need mineral analysis or proximate analysis, we're doing that within our lab to also so support those initiatives. Quality assurance, of course, we're testing the products, ingredients for the specifications determined. And for our manufacturing group, we're working to do the bench studies, the conditioning studies, the method or the mixer study validations, all of that to drive a better manufacturing process. So when you're looking at laboratory as a whole and how does it help drive an efficacious and safe product, it's that support role that it's providing all these other functions that work together as one.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's a lot more involved than what I thought. So, and certainly a lot more people, right, when you talk about all of these different departments. So, you know, recently I've learned a little bit more about acquisition of product and you know, some of the challenges to sourcing ingredients or products during, you know, well, hate to say it, but during COVID, we all experienced like, oh, I didn't even think about that coming from there. So tell me about the major challenges when it comes to finding quality mineral sources. Is it about that, or is it finding the better product, you know, not necessarily resourcing?
So when it comes to finding a new potential source, the major challenge that we see when trying to find that source is that a lot of times animal feed is not the primary market. And what that means is that these suppliers, these manufacturers, don't have the knowledge of what from their raw material or the manufacturing process that could negatively impact the safety of the finished product as it relates to food safety in a swine diet. So what that might look like specifically, when we talk heavy metals, a lot of times the heavy metals are driven by the ore and the raw material that they're using. So if a supplier or manufacturer doesn't understand that that's the source of heavy metals, and they very quickly will switch from one mine source to another, different ore, you could potentially have high variation swings in your heavy metal content. But if you switch that on its head and look at something like dioxins, dioxins are more produced in the manufacturing process. There are some natural sources, but we see that different suppliers in the market will use recycled material in order to generate the final product that we will then feed to an animal. And in some of those recycled sources, there could be higher level of the precursor compounds that can then convert to dioxins. So if they don't understand it's in their raw material, their recycled material, or what in the manufacturing process may actually generate the dioxins, they may not know that they need to be monitoring the finished product for that. So it's our duty to really understand, work with the suppliers to see what is their raw material, how does their manufacturing process work, and what do we need to put as far as specifications in place in order to monitor that in our end as well. On a yearly basis, my lab evaluates over 100 different potential sources, new sources every year. There's a lot available for us, but less than 20% of those actually gets all the way through the approval process. Even less than that manage to get used where we purchase it and then sell it to our customers. So while there might be a lot of available sources on the market, not all of them have the quality and food safety processes in place to make us comfortable enough offering it to our customers.
You know, I thought maybe it was going to be a supply chain issue, right? Or getting the actual source, but you know, much different than that, it's the quality of it. And I never thought about the minerals and the ore and a different mine and et cetera, and food safety. So there's a lot more that goes into it. Thank you for that.
The source where you're getting it from also plays a big role. You mentioned COVID. It makes a huge difference of how that material is getting to your site, right? Is it coming over on a barge? Is it coming on a truck? Is it coming across seas on a shipping container? Knowing where all your sources are coming from and how they're going to get to your location and having backups using different modes of transportation, definitely important.
Yeah, for sure.
But that's more to make sure that we don't lose the ability to offer our customers a specific product.
So how are those specifications set for those individual products?
Well, first, we have the regulatory definitions, right? They set some specifications like heavy metals, major element composition. But beyond that, our quality assurance team typically adds additional level of specifications, often tighter specifications, based on what we know makes a good product, okay? So not a lot of times those definitions don't take in consideration how the material might be used in the manufacturing of a premix, whether it's added as a solid, whether it's put in liquid application, all of that. On top of that, our customers also have their own expectations. There's a lot of times our swine customers have tighter specifications than what the regulatory limits are for us. And that's great to see, right? Because that's our swine producers taking a personal responsibility, ensuring that they're generating a quality product that then goes into the food system. So it's not as simple as just pulling up regulatory definitions. It's also internal specifications and customer expectation that drives our limits and specifications we set on products.
Sunai is a professional solution provider for enzymes, probiotics, and functional additives. We offer customized formulas to target nutritional issues in livestock and maximize the utility of animal feed. Find us at sunai.com, spelled S-U-N-H-Y. For more information.
So Kimberly, are there any specific differences in how each classification of mineral is tested? So, you know, I guess describe a little bit about those specifics.
So when we classify minerals that are used in animal feed, typically they're grouped into either the inorganic minerals, your sulfates, oxides, hydroxychlorides, or the organic minerals, which are your amino acid complexes, your propionates, picolinates, your yeast, selenium yeast products. When we're just looking at the total mineral content or the heavy metal composition, a lot of times the industry will use either inductively coupled plasma optical emission spectroscopy, ICP-OES for short, it's a mouthful, or inductively coupled plasma mass spectroscopy, ICP-MS for short. Very robust technology. It covers a lot of different sample types. And it's an improvement from the days when we used to use something like atomic absorption, where you could only test for one element at a time. So now we can look at 23 different elements simultaneously. And that doesn't matter what type of mineral we're evaluating. But whenever we want to take those minerals, the elements themselves, and decide how are they combined to make the actual compound that we sell to animal feed industry, we've got to incorporate other types of technology. My favorite is X-ray diffraction. Anything that's crystalline, we can look at that through an XRD and decide how are those elements coming together to form the compounds that are allowed in the animal feed industry. It's primarily used on your inorganic minerals. We can use it on some of the organics, but then we get into complex matrices. Think of your selenium yeast compounds, right? You don't have just selenomethionine in there. There's a variety of selenium compounds present in a selenium yeast. So we have to employ technology like any of the mass spec type of instruments, technologies like liquid chromatography, gas chromatography. There's something called time of flight, secondary ion mass spectroscopy, TOF-SIMS for short. And all of those help us understand how are those elements coming together, forming the molecule, and is it something that's going to be safe to feed to animals? Here in our lab, we also like to use a piece of technology called infrared spectroscopy. We treat it more like a fingerprint. It's very quick analysis, and we run it on any potential source we're going to sell and on a yearly basis for all the ingredients we're purchasing and selling at Phibro. There's no sample preparation behind it. It takes 2 minutes. And what we're doing is we're comparing the fingerprint we get from that scan against a database of known compounds and different types of hazards that we might potentially see in the animal feed industry. And from there, we can better monitor our products in the long run. So it really makes a difference to understand what the molecule you're looking for, the target molecule, and what the type of technology is that you're going to need to analyze that to confirm the presence or absence of the target product.
Well, Kimberly, it sounds very complicated, but I'm going to put it in something that I know, and that's diagnostics, right? So we have a pathogen, and we're seeking for the specific pathogen, and so in order to do that, we pick our tests based on a lot of different things, right? And to get down to which tests do I run, and what's that result going to tell me? So it sounds kind of similar in that way, and there's always new machines or ways of testing coming out that I'm not familiar with in the diagnostic world. So I imagine in the laboratory world that happens as well. So a few of those I recognize and I appreciate it. I guess my take is that, it's complicated, but it's really being looked at on a very minute, specific scale. So really interesting. So Kimberly, tell me something that is surprising about mineral sourcing. So let's think about something that's a little bit maybe lighter or not necessarily a fun story, but what's something surprising to you?
So I'd say as far as surprising, might not be as surprising to some of our customers, is in the mineral premix business, we're seeing this shift. Before, a customer might pick one type or classification of mineral. So they might choose to fill their premix with all sulfates or maybe all oxides. And we're seeing a shift away from that to instead of having one type of mineral per element that they're planning on supplementing to combining several different types of technology. when it comes to bioavailability, you know this, it's not solely driven by solubility. If it were, everyone would feed sulfates. They're relatively cheap. They're highly soluble. But whenever you get into the different types of minerals that are available, we see different antagonistic interactions when it comes to the biology of a swine. They're going to have different modes of transportation, whether that be active or passive diffusion. So all of those come together to dictate what type of minerals a swine producer or nutritionist might decide to include. And lately, there's been that shift to include multiple different sources. And the idea being that our animals are always under some form of stress, whether that be environmental-based, swings in temperature, disease, poor feed quality, all of those can come together to stress an animal. So by using different types of minerals with different modes of action or modes of transportation and different antagonists, we're really removing this single point failure in order to form a more consistent product at the end of the day. So for me, the surprising aspect of it is the shift from a single source, mineral source, to a combination of those and how they're adding complexity to the premix business.
Yeah, that sounds maybe not as simple as, it could be if you've got a lot of science that goes into testing those synergies. So very good. Well, Kimberly, we're rounding out our time together, and I want to say thank you to our listeners. If you have questions or comments for Kimberly or myself, don't hesitate to send those through on your listening platform, and those will get to us. Also, if you liked our show today, give us a like or a thumbs up. And before we conclude, Kimberly, is there any last comments or maybe some final thoughts from you that you'd like to share?
I've thoroughly enjoyed learning more about the animal industry. Like you have a background in the swine industry and you're learning more about chemistry. For me, my background is in chemistry and I've learned so much about the animal feed industry, different physiology with the various species we're feeding into. So I'm loving every bit of it. And it's great to see what the difference technologies are being introduced into the swine industry overall. So it's been great.
It's time for our famous three. We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible. Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at fortivaimpact.com. SUNY, we provide value-added biotech solutions. Essential Ag Solutions, bringing innovative science-based solutions to livestock producers. Keys Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com. A worldwide leader in animal nutrition, Adiseo's portfolio of products includes methionine, the full range of vitamins, enzymes, organic selenium, probiotics, mycotoxin management strategies, and palatability products. With such a diverse offering, Adiseo supports its customers with a broad range of expertise, tools, and services to help them maintain a competitive advantage. Adiseo, fueling predictable profits. To learn more, visit Adiseo at www.adiseo.com.
Absolutely. I love the variety of all the topics on the different podcast shows. So very, very great to have you on. But before we conclude, a trademark of our show is to ask our guests some thought-provoking questions. So Kimberly, can you share with us an attribute or characteristic that you feel sets successful professionals apart from others?
Sure. Feeding into what I just said, the willingness to learn and further your education after you get out of school, especially for the young individuals that are out there. Just because you walked out the door with your diploma doesn't mean that you're done learning. There's quite a bit more left that you need to understand to have a good working knowledge of whatever industry you're in. And not just, you know, the the echo chamber that we find ourselves in a lot of time, but also reaching out to similar fields that are working on similar products. We can learn a lot from just going out of our way to understand the different type of technologies and how they might be using them, or the properties that they are investigating, and how it might impact what you're doing yourself. So for me, it's taking every opportunity to learn.
Absolutely. Being a lifelong learner, that's something in our swine veterinary group that we talk about and we cherish. So, Kimberly, thank you so much for being my guest. This concludes this episode of the Swine It podcast. Thank you all for listening.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.